I want to welcome you back. This course has gone through so many resources and discussions, and maybe you're thinking to yourself, wow, this is overwhelming. In some ways, what is exciting about that is that this is what the world needs. The Christian worldview toward intimacy, marriage, even family, is so incredible and so needed, and you are a minister called by God to share the Christian understanding of sexual intimacy, family, and so forth. So in this presentation, we're going to talk about how to actually have a meeting to talk about some of these things. So if you're going to have a meeting, it's first about setting the expectations that even before the meeting occurs, there's some ground rules. First of all, meet with the minister life coach approach in mind. This whole course pairs very well with the life coach minister training. While not 100% necessary, I would say these two fit together very good because you're really having the thought in mind, if you're going to have a meeting, that it really is about what are the action steps? What can the couple do or the person do to take that next step toward a transformational lifestyle? Secondly, have safe church practices and appropriate boundaries in place. And you know, people say, well, you know, what are you talking about on that? Well, we know that the devil is a prowling lion seeking who to devour. So in the area of sexual intimacy, this is a huge concern, and because we know, we've seen, you know, scandals with ministers and priests. We've seen scandals with celebrities, government officials. I mean, the world is on tilt-a-whirl when it comes to areas of sexual intimacy. So when we want to assist this area of human experience to glorify God, we have to make sure that our boundaries are very clear. So to set appropriate boundaries and practice safe church practices is essential. So first of all, on that whole setting of practices, is you as a minister have commitment to not cross the line, no matter what. Also in safe practices is to be very, very careful. And I would even say, don't meet, if you're a male, don't meet with a female alone about these subjects. If you're a female, don't meet with a male alone on these subjects. I really like this concept of couple ministry, where if you're a couple and you meet with another couple, or you're a couple that meets with a woman or a man on some of these subjects, that would be appropriate. I also believe women meeting with women is appropriate, men meeting with men on some of these subjects. But it's the key concept is safe church practices, that we keep very healthy boundaries in place about these areas. Number three, instill personal responsibility for seeking out the answers while sharing resources. Now, why is that part of the setup? Because I think that could be talked about even like, well, you know, what this is going to be about is about really you. If you're interested in meeting with me, we've learned that you have to come in with the attitude of, you know, I want to grow, I want to learn, and I want to take responsibility for actions. So talk about schedule and create an expectation for when, where, and how long, and set up starting time and ending times. You know, I find this is important too. Early in ministry and in life coach ministry and all that, I did not clarify some of those things. And what happened was it became very frustrating. But after a while, I learned, okay, here's the starting time. We meet 1 hour, and here's the ending time, and stick to it. And if someone's late, don't meet. And I mean, I you know, 5 minutes late because traffic, I understand that. But if someone calls and they're a half hour late, you know, I'm going to come and you say, you know, just schedule another time. I do really believe that the proper time boundaries are essential to make something like this work. And then, is this ministry or is this ministry biz? I believe that a ministry biz is a wonderful opportunity. Maybe it's a life coach practice. Maybe it's services offered through a website, or maybe it's through a marriage store, or new ideas of how we're going to share the Christian worldview for marriage. But make sure that all those expectations are clear up front. The same when it comes to ministry. If this is a ministry of a church, it's a ministry of the church. Have all of that clarified. And there are strengths and weaknesses in both areas. So let's talk now about the first meeting. So in the first meeting, first of all, really clarify what we hope to accomplish. Discuss learning to talking about sex-related topics and dealing with associated triggers. So the first meeting is about being clear what we're going to accomplish. And the first thing is talking about sex-related topics. And I'll tell you, this is an area where some people will trigger. I've noticed that over the year. In some couples, let's say you're meeting with a couple and you're going to talk about a sex-related topic, say, you know, let's talk first of all, before we even dive in, let's talk about how we're going to language this. And people are like, why? Well, because I've noticed, like, some people have out-of-boundary words. And other people have a much more broad verbiage when it comes talking about this. And it's just kind of an interesting discussion. And it lays a groundwork of respect that you might be talking with somebody about a sexual intimacy-related subject, and you're very respectful on how people talk about this within their own marriage. It also gives you a clue as to where the couple is at. Because I've noticed, too, when I bring up that subject, one member of the marriage, the wife might have a very broad vocabulary, and the husband have a very narrow vocabulary. And then right away you can start seeing, okay, wait a minute, there's already a disconnect that you see right away. Number two. Ask about what in their sexual intimacy is an area of concern. Ask them if it is a personal or couple struggle, and what growth are they looking for? Again, this is very much in that life coaching type of thing, where in the life coaching curriculum here at Christian Leaders Institute and College, you know, we talk about identifying the area of concern, so that we know what it is. Because once we know the area of concern, we can start talking about it as something to be addressed. And also, it's not personal. Like, I'm not bad because of this. In counseling, what often happens is people take very much things personally. Or they create a very thin story. There's one area of concern. In this one area of concern, clouds over their marriage. It clouds over them as individuals. Where when you hear that area of concern, you as a minister say, oh, very understandable area of concern. But let's talk about what that means and what we hope to accomplish in that area of concern. What you'll find is that people will talk about an area of concern, and then they'll talk about more areas of concern. And then sometimes it can get where there's a lot of areas of concern. But then at a certain point, number three, prioritize the top three areas. You know, maybe there is only one area of concern, and that's the priority. But sometimes you'll find that one area of concern leads to another area of concern, leads to another area of concern. What I like to do is to get a whiteboard out in life coach ministry or counseling or pastoral care sessions and write down all the areas of concern. And when there's one or two, okay, we'll address those one or two. But sometimes there are 10 areas of concern. So you write them down and then you prioritize what would be the most important area that we can start with. Then, number four, go deeper in the chosen area. What, asking such questions as, why did you choose this area? Why does this concern you? Are there obstacles or triggers that have held you back from making a decision or to change something? Or what are some actions you want to explore? Going deeper is an interesting process too, because sometimes people will say this is their area of concern, and when you go deep, you find that's not their area of concern, it's something else. And then what I do is I then go to the whiteboard and just say, you know, I've heard you say this, but I keep hearing this. Is this really? So in the sense, that first meeting is trying to find out really the areas of concern are. One thing to be careful of is see what you see. Don't see what you think you see. Listen, be a listener in this first session, and really all sessions, be a bit listener. But the thing is to listen accurately, and sometimes the area of concern that they really feel is still not the area they first tell you. Like for instance, in a marriage, often there's sort of, many times there's subjects that somebody does not want to talk about. So they talk about other areas that are around the bush. You know, beat around the bush is a phrase in English, but they're not actually the bush. They're not really talking about what is the area of concern. So in this process, you're listening to discern what is the area of concern, what are the areas of concerns, and are those the ones that are really there? So in the first session, that is what you're talking about. So after you clarify some of these things, then number five, get a concluding action point. What is one action point that comes out of this first meeting? What's great about that, and maybe there's two you can get out of the first meeting, but what's great about that is you sort of say, okay, why do we meet? We've clarified why we meet. We have clarified some of the issues of concerns, and now we're going to say, what's one thing, George and Sue, that you believe that we can do or we can work on from now until the next meeting? And what happens then is discussion occurs and real priorities start leveling up to the top. And then the last thing to talk about is really the prayer and efficient goals. Write down what areas will need prayer and welcome God into their transformation. To welcome God into their transformation. You know, I think often social sciences and counseling and approaches that are done this where and everywhere, everything is about the latest and greatest in principles of figuring things out. But in reality, they're not welcoming God. And the Bible is all about the promises of God and welcoming God into someone's life. So my wife and I were proofreading and talking about this. Pam and I were talking about this yesterday. And we were doing our devotions, our couple devotions. And it's fascinating to me how the Bible welcomes God into the solving of the problems of our lives. For instance, here's Psalm 28 that we read yesterday and meditated on and prayed together through as we were meditating on this. To you, Yahweh, I call my rock. Don't be deaf to me, lest if you are silent to me, I would be like one going down to the pit. Hear my voice and my petitions when I cry to you, when I lift up my hands towards your most holy place. Don't draw away with the wicked, with the workers of iniquity who speak peace in their neighbors, but mischief in their hearts. give them according to their works, according to their wickedness of their doings. Then later on, it's just fascinating in verse 7, or verse 6, blessed is Yahweh, because he has heard the voice of my petitions. Yahweh is my strength and my shield. My heart has trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices. So read Psalm 28 in your own, please. But notice, too, how God is into the restoration ministry. He is the helper. You as a minister, you are a conduit of his help. So one of the things about in the ministry sciences approach to life coaching, counseling, pastoral care is the welcoming of God. And as a minister, we're one who basically listens. So what I would recommend that you do then is as you're listening to the first meetings, conversations, that you are writing down, but you're writing down what is going to be the ending prayer of the day. And before you say the prayer, say, yeah, let's welcome God into this. Now, let me get this correct. The major issues that we're going to pray about today are these issues. The major plans or action steps that we're going to talk about are these action steps. We are going to invite the Holy Spirit to come into this space. And what starts happening is it changes this from counseling to the welcoming of God is my rock. His promises change our marriage and change our sexual intimacy. And if and you'll notice the problems, I didn't talk about some of the possible problems, but you've just taken this class and you've seen problems. You've seen different libidos. You've seen the pornography issue. You've seen communication issues. You've seen so many different things. So these are the common problems that many of them will come up. And maybe in the first session, none of them come up because the trust level isn't there to talk about them yet. So they're talked about in like, you know, there's some things that we feel incompatible about. Okay, so we say, Lord, there's some incompatible concerns in the marriage. So you talk about that. But the point is to get to that place of prayer. And as a life coach minister, a marriage minister, in pastoral care, or whatever, you're a kingdom minister, kingdom life coach minister, we say God is our helper. And then also what officiants do, like a wedding officiant, you know, also shares vows. What I like to do too is like ask, is there anything that you want to make a commitment for that we can pray about? And a lot of times people blurt something out like, you know, I want to commit to, you know, working less and spending more time in our marriage. Okay, then what you can do is put that in your prayer and sort of help them state that vow. I've even done it before where, you know, would you really like to commit to a vow? You know, it was really interesting in the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul has a shaved head into a vow. And it's talked about. And I just think it was fascinating that we need to welcome God and we need to commit ourselves to his plan and his best for our lives. And as in the first meeting, this is the culture that you want to establish. So let's talk about the second meeting. So the second meeting is to review goals and get into the how. So the first meeting is more about the what. There might be a little action steps. Okay, of course, that's some how in there. But this is really where the action steps even take on that new urgency. So number one, review the decisions made at the first meeting. Has God been speaking? Is there more clarity of what you want to do as a couple or as a single in the area of sexuality or your marriage? Review the priorities that were picked, that you picked in the last meeting. Are they still the main priorities? Explore some plan options. And we're going to talk about some of these things. Is are we on a transformational care plan? And what I mean by transformational care is, are there some triggers from the past that have to be addressed? And maybe you as the life coach, minister, or a pastor, or whatever, are not going to address all that, and you're going to need some help from Christian counseling or other support services. And that's fine too. But the whole point, and maybe there's a gender-specific concern or trigger. At this point, the key is that you are not the provider of everything. Remember, God is the helper. But you also have the body of Christ. So what would the transformational plan look like? What about, maybe it's an education plan. Maybe it's a peace-filled relationship plan. We have courses at Christian Leaders Institute in college on Peace Smart. And maybe some of this relates to, you know, I see there's huge conflict. And maybe the plan is to find out how to have peace in Jesus Christ. So whatever the concerns are, when you start thinking about overcoming the concerns, is very much about identifying the type of plan. And then from that, explore some action steps from the plan discussion. And back to what we talked about in the first meeting, officiate commitments, vows, and prayers. What can be committed to pray about or to do before the next meeting? Then the third meeting, review progress, seek to advance the goals, review the goals, the vows, the prayers spoken at the last meeting. How did God show up? Now let's stop right there. If we invite God into the situation, He shows up. In ministry counseling, we've said this before in this class, I am amazed at how God shows up to bring healing into homes, into lives, and even very specialized into concerns in our life. We might think they're minute or someone else, but to us, they're not minute, and God shows up. So, how did God show up? Is there more clarity, or is there a plan adjustment needed? 2, review the priorities you picked at the first and second meetings. Are they still the main priorities? What happens so often is that the priorities change and become more focused. And as they focus on some of the peripheral safe priorities, the more deeper or real issue priorities come to the surface. So review the progress of the plan. How did it go? So you set more of a specific plan in place. Was there any progress in a transformational care plan, a education plan, a peace-filled relationship plan? What did you learn? What surprised you? 4, move toward a new commitment to the original or revised plan. Are you satisfied with your plan? Do you want to revise? Do you want to add? And then, again, officiate commitments, vows, prayers for any revised or new plan that reflects your key priorities. What can be committed to pray about or do before the next meeting? When you start getting into these later meetings and additional meetings, you're not introducing anything new. Now, what you may introduce is a resource. You may introduce a class at Christian Leaders Institute, a free class on marriage. We have marriage. We have all sorts of mini classes. We have, and why not invite people that you're ministering to, people that you have a practice serving? Why not introduce them to a free class? And who knows what God is going to do? You know, in the life coaching approach, we don't want to tell anybody anything, but we want to help them discern what they ought to do. So we want to coach them along in the process. So finally, let's talk then about additional meetings. Well, review goals, vows, prayers spoken at the last meeting. How did God show up? Is there more clarity? Or are plan adjustments needed? Review the priorities you picked at the previous meetings. Are they still the main priorities? Review the progress of the plan. How did it go? Transformational plan, care education plan, peace-filled relationship plan. What did you learn? What surprised you? Adjust any commitments to the original revised plan. Are you satisfied with your plan? Revise, add. Officiate commitments, vows, prayers, any revised or new plan that reflects your key priorities. What can be committed to pray about or to do before the next meeting? Now, if you notice, I just pretty much read the previous slide, because at this point, it is just about reviewing and exploring. And sometimes it does take, you know, a few meetings before the issue that really is the issue is brought to the surface. But it's still about, say, God, come into my life, come into this specific problem. Now, in the whole process, one of the things you want to model is that you are a curious learner, a curious and discerning learner and doer. Now, I was witnessing to someone yesterday, and this person's had a lot of challenges in their business and some health concerns. And it's fascinating, as I get older, you know, I do know that, you know, we're getting older and there's more challenges. And so this person was then really stuck a question to me, like, you know, you've had a lot of negative things happen in your life. Why are you so positive anyway? And I said, you know, I have. But I believe that I focus on what is God doing. I could pick 1,000 things that, you know, I could look at and say, that's so frustrating. But ultimately, I know that these light and momentary troubles are achieving for us a glory that far outweighs them all. That's 2 Corinthians 4. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. What is unseen is eternal. So here we are. And I said to him, like, I don't have time to focus on the tons of negative things happening in the world. Yeah, I read the news. Yeah, I have political opinions and all of that. But I will not be defined by my political opinions, or I will not be defined by the bad news. I'm defined, and I seek to be a curious learner and doer for the good news. As it says in Philippians, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is praiseworthy, think about such things. So while you're in this relationship, be that person who is an agent of hope. So be a curious and discerning learner and doer. And both are important. You can become curious and just kind of go down trails that in the end don't lead to solving problems or helping anybody or helping yourself. So it's curious and discerning, so that even good resources, you're going to look through and get the nugget, but you're not going to start becoming drifting in your own convictions and so forth. And what I find is that the body of Christ, the diversity of the body of Christ, has what we need. There are amazing people resources that are everywhere. Now, I think about the area of sexual intimacy. My wife and I, when we were first married, there were some amazing Christian men who shared some insights about sexual intimacy with me. It really helped me. And there were some amazing Christian women who helped my wife to really, you know, embrace her own femininity and sexuality. And I think of that sort of like really awesome. But when there's that culture, now, did everything that guys said to me was helpful? No. Well, I had to discern through some of the stuff. But as a curious and discerning learner and doer, it helped. And as a minister here, that's the sort of, you can ask, you know, hey, everybody, always remember, you know, hey, George and Sue, always remember that God may have someone in your life that may be an encouragement to you. You don't have to do this alone. Second thing is, when you're a curious and discerning learner and doer, there's also the sexual intimacy minister as a resource. So in some ways, this is about you. As the minister, you are on a path to be a curious learner and doer to help others. So when I talk about this slide, you know, part of it is what you share with others. But there are people resources for you as a leader, but also as a leader, commit yourself to be curious and discerning about resources that can help. This class is an example of that. You didn't probably know everything you know today about sexual intimacy. You probably were introduced to things you never thought about before. Becoming a curious and discerning learner and doer, you know, I would recommend to those that you're talking with and ministering to that there are women who are comfortable with the subject and men who are comfortable with the subject. And if you know who they are, maybe they're marriage ministers in your church. You know, maybe they're people who really have a voice in this area. You know, make the connections. So these first area, people resources, you as a minister in your curious journey, women or men you may know that can be part of the package to bring healing. You know, those are all these things. But remember, as a minister, these things are highly confidential. So you may connect someone, but you're not going to say, here's someone's problem. Remember confidentiality, that you're not going to tell other people what other people's problems are, but what you're doing is you're creating a world where, you know, it, like for instance, how you might create the people resources connection or the male and female relationship connections. It might just be through inviting through Bible studies with people you know are leaders in these specific areas. Well, there are people resources, but there's also intellectual resources. We've talked about this, these courses, these mini courses, books and blogs. And you will find that there's a lot out there on the internet for helping in specific sexual intimacy problems. They're specifically located on the internet. I know, like, for instance, the Marriage Bed is a site that my wife and I had visited and got excellent resources for doing ministry in marriage bed-related subjects. Folks in the Family has excellent resources about sexual intimacy and other blogs. We also find that that there are some internet sites that do that have excellent insights, but then there's things we don't agree with. And at first I used to be like, but remember the discerning user, the discerning reader. So, but then on the other hand, some of these sites have incredible, insightful ways to think about something that are very biblical and extremely helpful. And sometimes when I would read something, you know, I'd first, you know, push back, and then I realized that this was a very insightful thing that glorified God. So discerning reading. This subject of sexual intimacy is wrought with so much attack by the evil one. So we have to both be curious, but be discerning. Media resources, movies, blogs are more difficult because 90 plus scenes about sexuality in the media are not even in marriage. But there are some that are. My wife and I subscribe to Pure Flix, and we enjoy many of the movies there. But even on Netflix and other places, there are media that support the Christian worldview. There are also blogs out there. And the blogs that have more media focus, like amarriageheat.com, there might be things that you like and don't like. But what I love about that, for especially newly marrying couples who have no experience, it's Song of Songs type literature in contemporary language. Now, sometimes I get uncomfortable with the variety of even how Christians understand marriage. But what I like about that is here's Christians who are committed to hot monogamy do relate sexually with one another. And for some people, that's very helpful. So what I'm saying about this is becoming a curious learner and discerner. And in this area, it is extremely challenging, but we are not defeated. So we can, as a minister, bring people resources. We can, as a sexual intimacy minister or in this area, we can be confident and we can grow and be curious ourselves and grow as we grow. As we grow, we share resources. As a man, I can start a men's Bible study. In fact, I've had so many men's Bible study, and one of the subjects that often comes up is sexual intimacy related subjects. And I can encourage, and if you're a woman, same as well. But again, always remember boundaries and always observe confidentiality. The intellectual resources, courses, mini courses, books. I mean, I just show you, my wife and I have a whole section of books in our personal library about sexual intimacy. Those are excellent to find. Blogs, I think there's incredible blogs out there. But again, be discerning. And then media resources, they're more complicated. And I find that on the media resources, just full disclosure, sometimes I like a blog that I will read that's really helpful. And then sometimes it's like, oh, or sometimes I will disagree with why that story was allowed to be published. But then, you know, through that story, I think, okay, but that's an interesting perspective. The key thing in all of this, will we be those who promote the hot monogamy, the worldview that is one man, one woman, that our sexuality is defined by that? And how can we be curious learners and discerners as we go forward? And not grumpy on the subject, not legalistic on this subject. I want to talk about this legalistic thing. My experience as a minister is like, there's a freedom in the marriage bed that people have together. And part of this is why it's so difficult to talk about it, because there are some Christian couples and like elders and ministers and churches and really godly people that have very vernacular language in the bedroom. And they have a very, I would call it extensive sexual intimacy palette, okay? And then there are some who have very specific words, and that's what it is, and they get triggered. And then you also have people that have different pasts, some that experience abuse, or some experience women who have been raped. And it becomes, you know, almost like you don't even want to address the subject. But as you, as a minister, can just stay non-judgmental and curious and realize that people are on a journey, and this area has been so controlled, and it is controlled in our culture right now by the evil one who is just trying to break marriages apart. If we can keep that perspective, then as a marriage intimacy minister, life coach minister, what we're here to help them develop their goals. We're here to help them enjoy who God has created them to be. We're not judgmental, we're not grumpy, but we hold unswervingly to that Hebrews passage that the marriage bed, marriage is to be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure. And we're not going to get caught up in the diversity of how Christians think about this. We're going to get caught up in the worldview of the blessing of marriage. So anyway, holding meetings can be challenging, and yet it's very practical. So just kind of sum it up. you know, just thoughts that come to my mind. Keep excellent boundaries. Be a curious learner and discerner. You'll get experience in holding these meetings. And at first, maybe you won't feel so confident, but if you stick to the plan and get someone else talking, it's better than them just not talking and getting more angry with each other, and then the devil uses that to separate them and creating divorce. This subject is a vital and important subject in who we've been created as human beings. So we want to address it with grace, with encouragement. We want to be careful that there's different sensitivities out of there, and we don't want to like sidetrack health by criticizing their specific sensitivities versus how you would understand it. We're all about blessing. How do we, and then prayer, how do we invite God into that marriage? So, you know, I know you're going to do great in this. I know that as you think about it and pray about it, God is going to give you insights. And may God bless you as you dare to hold meetings to talk about this very important subject.